Bible this morning, 1 Kings 17, 17th chapter, 1 Kings. If you get familiar with your Bible, go to the middle. You'll find the book of Psalms. Turn to your left a few books. You'll come to 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to say thank you to Pete, Brother Pete Cavanaugh. He's not here, of course, but he filled in at the last moment. Last Sunday morning, I was in the kitchen with my hand on my bag and suit coat on, over my arm when I got a text message that had to be tended to. And I just had to have some immediate attention. Ended up with me immediately going to the airport. And I just said, Pete, he was going to preach Sunday night anyway. So I said, Brother Pete, man, you got it. And so he, what I heard, did a good job last Sunday. I'm thankful for that. Heard great things and good things about Brother Bragg's message this past Wednesday night. Folks, listen, if your pastor's not here on a Wednesday or a Sunday during this stretch of time, don't think that God can't show up and meet your need, okay? God is more likely that He shows up, because in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect, okay? And when everything's a little bit topsy-turvy, that's when God's at His best, okay? So, Brother Coral will be here this Sunday, this Wednesday night. And listen, Brother Coral's not preaching as long as he used to. So get that out of your head, okay? And if you need to, bring a pillow, just bring a pillow, okay? And but that is, won't be as long as he's really not preach as long as he used to. Now watch, yeah. I shouldn't have said that. You guys are in trouble now. But then, and then Brother Murphy's been here several times. So just you know, hey, look, if they bring this book, okay, because this is where it is. This is where it is, okay? So I appreciate your faithfulness. Let's stand in honor of God's good book. And, you know, I'm going to refer to several verses in this chapter. So let me just read verse number 2 with you. Begin there. And I'll read, mix and match here a little bit. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that's Elijah, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Finding Care There. Finding Care There. Father in heaven, bless, I pray, our time in your word this morning. Oh God, thank you for this living book. Thank you for the living word, Jesus Christ. God, please minister to our hearts today from the words in this book. May your spirit be here in power to meet needs in this auditorium. And may thy will be done, I pray, in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. A couple, 3 months ago, I was looking ahead to the summer and thinking, okay, Lord, do you have anything you want me to do special this summer? Years gone by, God has put things on my heart that I have done, maybe series of messages in particular during summertime. A lot of summers I've just preached messages as God brings them. I was reading my devotions, and I was in the 17th chapter of one of the books in the Old Testament. And I'm reading through there, and I'm getting blessed by what I'm reading. And I realize I'm reading, this is 2017, and I'm reading in chapter 17. And, I think the Spirit of God gave me just a thought about doing what I'm going to call the Summer of 17. And I'm going to preach to you, this next Sunday is the last Sunday that I'm planning to miss, okay? No more the rest of the of summer, not till Labor Day weekend. And my wife and I are going to try to get away for a few days over that weekend. But I'm planning to be here every Sunday. So I'm going to speak to you the rest of this summer on Sunday mornings out of chapter 17 in the Bible. The summer of 17. And chapter 17 in the Bible. Some magnificent passages in chapter 17 in the Bible. This morning we're in 1 Kings 17. And this is a wonderful story. The setting for this story is found in verse number 1, all right? The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So Ahab is this wicked king ruling over Israel. His wife Jezebel is as wicked, if not more so, than Ahab. And they're just living in all kinds of sin, displeasing God. And out of the blue, humanly speaking, it's not out of the blue as far as God's concerned, but humanly speaking, just out of the blue, God calls on Elijah. We know nothing about Elijah except that he was a Tishbite from the inhabitants of Gilead. We know nothing about his parents. We know nothing about his lineage. And God just throws this prophet right into the middle of all this sin in the nation of Israel. And he comes to stand before Ahab with a message of judgment from God. There will be no dew. There will be no rain for these years. Didn't say how many, but according to my word. And that's not talking about Elijah's word. That's talking about God's word. God is speaking through the prophet. This is not a message that Elijah dreamed up. This is a message that God gave him. So God is speaking to Ahab. God is speaking to Jezebel. I'm going to turn off the water supply. Now, folks, when you turn off the faucet from the clouds on a nation dependent on agriculture for their livelihood, that's serious business. You know, we need rain right now in this area. Iowa's drier than we are. My wife's uncle died in the process of all that's gone on. Her uncle died. I flew in Thursday from Florida. She picked me up. We took off for Iowa to be at her uncle's funeral. 94 years of age, their favorite uncle. All of her cousins came in. And so we were at that funeral. It's drier out there, Brother Wade, in my opinion. Crops look a little better because he got him in earlier. But it's drier out there than it is. I remember in Iowa, Brian can probably remember the year. I'm thinking 83s. Was there a drought in 83? What year was it? It was bad. I'm sorry. Yeah, the ground cracked open And I mean, churches were having prayer because I was much, this part of Illinois, I was like Southern Illinois. You know that, okay? Heavily agriculturally dependent, all right? And they were needing water. And you know what the government did? They bring in Indians to rain dance. That's what they did. Had big rain dances to call on rain. And the churches went to prayer. Our church, how many farmers and farm-related men we had in our church? It's serious. When you turn the water off, Israel's dependent on herds, flocks, crops. That's their livelihood. Are you going to turn the water off on that? That's serious business. And so God gives this message of judgment because of their sin. I'm going to dry it up. It's not going to rain until I say so. And by the way, not just no rain, no dew. So you're talking no moisture. Now, Elijah gives that message. Now, you don't think Ahab and Jezebel take that kind of thing sitting down. Okay? So they're ticked off, but immediately after having Elijah make this announcement, then God sent the prophet away, and God took care of his prophet. I'm going to speak to you. Finding care there, I want to point out some simple thoughts today. First of all, is the word care. Finding care there. The word care. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. Get thee hence, he says to Elijah, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt have drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So, as soon as he makes this announcement, God sends Elijah to hide by the brook Cherith. And at the brook Cherith, he would drink water out of the brook, and then God was going to send ravens to Elijah twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. And when the birds come, they're going to bring you bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, a meat sandwich twice a day, McDonald's in the morning, Burger King at night, I'm sure, okay? And this is going to be delivered by birds, okay? You're going to get your food, and you're going to drink of the brook. And so that's what Elijah did. He went there, but look at verse number 7. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So what happens when there's no water? The brooks and the streams dry up. So now what's Elijah going to do? Well, you look at verse number 9, right after that. The word of the Lord came unto him, verse 8, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So God sent him to another place, sent him to Zarephath. And instead of ravens, there's going to be a widow woman who would help Elijah. Now, she wasn't wealthy. In fact, she was pretty bad off herself. But God used her to care for Elijah, and then God in turn cared for that widow. Folks, what I'm saying this morning, you cannot read this chapter without reflecting on God's care for Elijah. God's care for Elijah. Nobody but God took care of this man. God cared for him. God met Elijah's needs. God took care of providing his food, his shelter, his water in the midst of a very difficult time in the land of Israel. And I want to make a couple of applications from this interpretation for you and me this morning. Now, first of all, I want to say this about the word care, that God has been so good to care for Faith Baptist Church through these years. And I was going to say a little bit of this last Sunday on the 48th anniversary. I didn't get to be here. But when you go back and look at the economy of Kankakee County over these 48 years, you're going to see ups and downs, you know, from what I've heard and read about and talked to people. You know, you got the robust years, if you will, of lots of jobs and places to work, maybe in the 60s and the 70s. And then I've heard from some of you and listened to some of you talk, and I've talked to others in the area about the late 70s, early 80s, when businesses closed down, packed up and moved south because of cheaper labor. And I think there was somebody said there was a sign on a bench down in Kankakee, said the last one to leave Kankakee County, turn out the lights. And people were moving out of here like crazy, and houses empty. The economy went down. And there's been some rebuilding, you know, over the years, obviously. Then 2008 hit, and there was a nationwide economic downturn. So the economy of Kankakee County has been up and down like a roller coaster. Times when the income of our church was real healthy, and times when the income of our church was on life support, but God kept us going. God helped us, and God cared for our needs at a as a church, because that's the kind of God He is. He's a God who cares for His people. Cares for His people. You look at what God used to care for Elijah. He used ravens and a widow. Now think about that. Ravens and a widow. Folks, not exactly the expected means. And the truth of the matter is, as I was pondering on this passage, you know, over the years, Faith Baptist Church has not been bankrolled by super wealthy, affluent men and women. Just hasn't been. It has been through the laborers and the workers and the widows and the widowers and the faithful giving of common people. And you know, it's been through the hand of our good God, who's cared for us all these 48 years. I was reflecting because last Sunday, the first Sunday in June, is always was my first Sunday as pastor here on site. Called in April and answered the call. Took a month to get things ready, let the kids finish school in Iowa. Moved out here, opened up on the first Sunday in June. So I completed 27 years here. And for those of you that were here back in those years, you remember that first summer, it was hand to mouth. It was hand to mouth. And Maud is here. She was working as a secretary for, I guess, during that time period. And the money would come in on Sunday, and Monday morning we'd look at the money, and or Tuesday morning decide what. Sometimes we could pay bills. Sometimes we had to call and say we can't do it. Sometimes we had to just portion it out. And those of you that were here in those days, remember, two couples showed up about 4 or 5 weeks after I came. They were from Houston, Texas. They were doing contractor work over here at the power plants, the nuclear power plants. And they lived in the area for months, and they made good money, and they gave. They came every Sunday morning. They were Southern Baptists. They actually started coming a little bit to Sunday night once in a while, and actually got into a couple special meetings. I'm sorry, my bad. I don't remember their names. They never joined the church. They're not going to live here. They're here as contract workers, and they gave, and they didn't give just, you know, $10. They gave, and they gave pretty heavy. And then they picked up and moved on. You say, what a coincidence. You believe that all you want to. We were trying to do some things to help the former pastor of this church survive between churches. So they're taking care of me as full-time pastor. We're doing some things financially to try to take care of the former pastor. We're not taking in enough money through Faith Promise Missions to support all the missionaries. You explain how we did it. We didn't. God did. Because God cares. God cares. He cared for this prophet, and over the years, God has cared for us. But let me make another application this morning. And that would be more than just a generic application for us as a church. But another application would be made to God's individual care for you and God's individual care for me. And I want you to listen carefully. God knows where you are, and God knows what you need, and God knows how you are doing. And there's a lot going on right now. Listen to it. You know, it's not just about the world of your pastor. There's a lot going on in the lives of lots of people in this church right now. And several involve elderly parents. I'm not the only one. And others of you have issues right now and circumstances and situations that you're going through. And I'm here to preach to you this morning, tell you from the Word of God, that no matter what the devil may attempt you to try to get you to think, he may tempt you and try to get you to think that, you know, God doesn't know you and has lost track of you for some reason, just overlooked, you know, your situation. I'm here to tell you that he is a liar. You have a God that cares. He knows everything about my situation. He knows everything about your situation. He knows things that I cannot share with you as a church family. And He knows things that some of you who are going through things have gone through things in the past 10 days can't share with the church family. He's a God that cares. I saw God's care in action. May 28th, I told you I was going to have to be going down to Florida, and the Tuesday afternoon I arrived Tuesday afternoon. And folks, you know, if I just there's so much I would like to say, but I can't just give all the attention to that. But I will say this. You can feel for people, you can empathize with people, but you don't know what folks go through until you go through it. And there have been a lot of folks here that have dealt with Alzheimer's parents. And I have tried to express my concern, and hopefully I did a decent job. But unless you go through it, you can only do so much. And our visits with my parents would be in and out. But that week, I lived in that house. And it's bizarre. It just is. And I was there Tuesday. I was there Wednesday. I saw the good times. I saw the bad times. I know now why my mother is at the end of her rope. I know now. And they have a little ritual, Dad and Mom do. After breakfast, they have a devotion. So this is Thursday morning, June the 1st. They have a little devotion. And they read from a booklet like our Baptist bread called The Daily Bread. Some of you probably are familiar with that. And they read from there's a passage of Scripture. And Dad will read the Scripture. Now, it's usually only 6 or 7 verses, and he stumbles through it. But he reads it. Gets some words wrong. I don't care. Who cares? He reads it best he can. And then my mother will read whatever the book says. So this is June 1st. Mom and I, you know, get Dad to bed. Mom and I sit up talking for a little bit and share hearts, and she's sharing her heart. And this is June 1st. I'm sitting at the table. I'm just a participant. I'm just listening. And so Dad reads the Scripture. And then she reads the booklet, and the title of June 1st thing, Everything We Need. I often feel completely inadequate for the tasks I face. The challenge often seems to be larger than my ability. I said, whoop. I stopped her. I said, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? God knows right where you are. He knows right what you're going through. Are you listening? Sometimes we read, folks, and don't focus. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of the wisdom, patience, and power we need to honor God, help others, and meet the challenge of today. Through Him, we can overcome our hesitations and feelings of inadequacy in every situation He has given us. Everything we need. She finished. I said, Mom, God loves you. God cares for you. And there it is right there. And that's what I'm saying, folks. God cares for His people. He cares for His people. That was a comfort to her. It was a help to her, like medicine to a wound, like encouragement to the discouraged. And I just want to say to you folks this morning, I want to say to you that God cares for you as well, and He will speak comfort to your hurting heart, and He will bring comfort to your hurting soul. And look, it would do us well to notice these two verses. I want you to notice them again. We already read them, but we read them too. Look at verse number 2. Okay, this is God's care. This is where it comes from. And the, what's that next word? Word of the Lord came to him. Verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him. That's where it comes from, folks. It comes from the word of God. That's where it comes from. And when you're going through, people, this is a human reaction. It's a normal reaction. When you head into something that is troubling and distasteful and consumes all of your mental capacity and drains your emotions, you're tempted to sit down on God and leave your Bible closed, and the devil jumps up on your shoulder and starts all this nonsense. He just nonsense, lies, because he's the father of lies, the Bible says. And the last thing you want to do is put your Bible down. Because that's where, look, they don't read the same Bible you and I read. I wouldn't read My Daily Bread. I like Baptist Bread. But I'm going to tell you something. They opened up a book that had part of the Word of God in it. And God spoke to them. Don't close your Bible. The Word of God is where He provides. It's the medium through which He provides His comfort and His encouragement and all that He wants you to have to know and comfort and peace. And some of you are going through things that don't necessarily involve parents. And some of you are going through things that don't necessarily involve money and provisions. You're going through other situations that cause you great anxiety, hurt, inner turmoil. And just remember that you got a God who cares for you. Find care. I love Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 1. We don't have time to go there. Jesus speaks and He says, I am the lily of the valleys. Lily is singular. Valleys is plural. So I left on Thursday morning. I said, Mom, and I got up at, my brother picked me up at 4, at 5:15, 5:20. They were still asleep. I left her a note. I said, Mom, look for the lily. He's somewhere. Somewhere in the valley below. And He's not just in one valley. He's in every valley. And that's a good thing, because over here, people going through different valleys. Here, people going through different valleys. Here, people going through different valleys. People going through different valleys. Here, going through different valleys. I'm glad that we don't have to say, boy, Jesus is in their valley. Maybe tomorrow He'll be in mine. He's in all of our valleys all the time. He's there. You've got to look for Him. That's His care. Now, the second thing I want to say to you is the word there. The word there. Look at verse number 4, okay? We're talking about finding care there. So look at verse number 4. And the Bible says, after He told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Yeah, that's a simple little word. Folks, it shows up 4 times. Look at verse number 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and I am dwelt there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse 10, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. Over and over again. There, 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 there. God, look, God's care. Listen, His care for Elijah was not just random. It was dependent on Elijah being in a specific place. Elijah, go there. And the ravens are coming to the brook Cherith. Now, you might find a bigger brook. You might find a little nicer stream. You can go there if you want to, but the ravens aren't coming there. The ravens are coming to Cherith. So go there. And maybe there are other streams that were nicer, but the ravens are coming to Cherith. The widow that God had chosen to care for Elijah was at Zarephath. The widow was not at Jerusalem. Elijah could have said, well, I'm going to Jerusalem. God said, okay, go to Jerusalem, but the widow that I have spoken to is at Zarephath. What are you saying? I'm saying there was a there for Elijah. And you know what this there represents, folks? It represents God's will. God will care for you and me, but it is vital that we stay in His will. It's vital that we stay in the there of God's will, because we'll find care there. You'll find care there. Sometimes we read the Bible, we don't take time to really think a little bit. You ever wonder why those birds flew bread and flesh to Elijah and gave it away? Folks, the only time I've ever seen birds giving food away is when they're feeding their young. All the other times, they're taking food. They're going to give him food. Do you ever wonder why a widow woman, now don't miss this, think this through, a widow woman in a drought would give a drink of water to a man she didn't know? And not only that, had enough flour and oil to make one cake with her little boy dying in the house, and took that one cake and gave it with the water to the man that she never met before. You ever wondered? The answer's in the book. Look at verse number 4. I have commanded. Look at verse number 9. I have commanded. Brother, when you and I live in the will of God, God will take command of our care. He'll take command of our care. Now, I want to tell you something. We've got a caring God. But you can't go running off out of the will of God doing your own thing and then look up to heaven and say, hey, why aren't you taking care of me? You know, can you imagine Elijah going over to the Jordan River? Because that's the well-known river. Cherith? Who ever heard of a Cherith? He runs over to the Jordan River, parks himself there. Okay, where are the ravens? Hey, God, you said you had commanded ravens to feed me. Bread in the morning, bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. I'm hungry. When's my meal coming? God said, you missed it. Because I wasn't going to send it to Jordan. I was going to send it to Cherith. You can't just randomly go out, folks, and live your life like you want to and then look up to the God of heaven and say, I expect you to take care of me. Let me tell you something. Listen very carefully. God is not like human beings. He will not finance our rebellion. He finances our obedience. In God's will, God takes command of our care. Now, look, for Elijah, this was a specific geographical location. But that's not my major point today as much as just being in the center of God's will. Let me show you something in verse number 3. Look at what he said here to Elijah. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward. I love this. And hide thyself. God tells Elijah to hide himself by the brook. Go there and hide. And brother, listen, all I'm saying is when you and I hit the valley, we need to hide in God's will. Get in God's will, and when the storms of life blow around us, we're hiding in God's will. That's the safest place to be. And when we're hiding in the will of God, God's command will take care of our care. We'll find care there. Get there and hide. That's why I say, get in your Bible and hide there. Going through the valley, get in your Bible. Now, folks, listen, I'm not just spewing words to fill time. Look at me and listen to me. 27 years talking to how many umpteen hundreds of people in the valley and ask them, are you having your devotions? I was. This is God's will. You can't abandon this. Get you a short prayer list. You say, I don't feel like praying. Join the club. Maybe you don't pray as long, but you pray. Come to church. I don't feel... People get in a valley, have something going on in their life. They're hesitant to come to church because I don't want to face anybody. What will people say? What will people think? Folks, that's not the major thing. The major thing is what God think. Obey the Lord. Get in God's will and hide there. I'm not saying that that's going to take care of every problem, but I'm saying that the one who commands your care is going to command it there. In God's will. In God's will. Simple obedience. Elijah, go there. Yes, sir. Elijah, go there. Yes, sir. And at both of those theirs, Elijah found care. And friend, the supernatural care of God will always be found in the center of His will. In the center of His will. I'm glad to see David and Joy here this morning. David especially had a terrible experience with his grandfather's death. For a 14-year-old young man, David's got a lot of stamina, but that was excruciating. My heart went out to him. I came by the house yesterday to see you guys. You weren't home. I left you a note because my heart's been feeling for you. And especially you, David. That's tough. I'm glad to see you in church this morning. Really am. You'll find care there. You'll find care there. Stay in the will of God when you hit the valley. Simple obedience, even though you don't feel like it. You're not full of inspiration. It's all perspiration. It's all dedication. It's all consecration. And God will command your care in His will. Now I'm done. But I'm not going to finish without saying this. The greatest care God extends to mankind is the care that God took to provide eternal salvation for people who deserve to go to hell. God has provided all that we need to go to heaven. But it is found... Now listen, don't hang up on me. Just because I said I'm finished. Don't hang up on me. I'm finished, but I'm not finished. Okay? God has provided all that we need to go to heaven, but it is found in a special there. And that special there is in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it's found. It's not found in the Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Catholic Church, Pentecostal Church. It's found in Jesus. There, sins are forgiven. There, you're washed clean. There, you are pronounced not guilty. There, you are made a child of God. There, you are saved. If this is Jesus here, and this is church ritual here, and you're running over to church ritual to find salvation, you're in the wrong there. The only there for eternal salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, get there this morning. If you are saved, stay in the there of God's will. Through every valley, every rough patch, God's care will be there. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be in church this morning. And Lord, hopefully to be ministered to from your word. What a great Bible. Thank you for the people that have gathered today. God, I pray that you'll please meet the need of every heart here. As only you know and can do, please work in our lives. Thank you for the care we can find there in the center of your will. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and no one's looking around. Just a couple questions for you. I wonder today, going through a little bit of a valley, stay in the will of God. Just do right. Just be on the side of right, even when you don't feel like it. You'll find care there. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God touched my heart with something that was said today. And God helped me. Pray for me. I'm thankful God spoke to me. Would you slip a hand up in the air this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Are you saved? That's a simple question. You can only be saved there. In Jesus, through His death, burial, and resurrection. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, If you're not saved this morning, or you're not sure that you're saved, I'd just like to pray for you. Not come to you, not point you out. I'd just like to pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking, Pastor Angel. I'm not sure I'm there. I'm not sure I'm there. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up in the air this morning? Just let me pray for you. Where I can see it, right back down. Side to side, front to back. Upstairs, downstairs. All right. If you're here this morning, you've not been baptized, you want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, you've spoken to us about joining the church, whatever the need is, I hope that you'll come and let that need be met this morning. If you're not saved, we have people that can talk to you, show you how you trust in Christ to save you. And you'll find salvation there. Child of God, going through the valley, stay in His will. You'll find care there. Father, bless the invitation to our hearts this morning. Touch the heart of any person here without Christ, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing the song this morning. Y'all come. You obey the Lord. Do what God says to do.